All right, good evening. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, if you don't have a Bible, there's a pew Bible in front of you. That would be page 887, or Psalm 90. I have a handout. I can give it out to you now. If anyone did not get it, you didn't get a handout on your way in, if you could just raise your hand. We have some ushers who are eager to assist you with the handout. I'm thankful for the support we got today at the lunch. God's people were very generous. I appreciated it. We set a personal record for our youth group, and we raised close to $800. So that's a real after. There's a couple expenses that are, I haven't seen the receipts, but I think that's about where it's going to be. So thank you. That's really generous on your part. I appreciate you helping them, and I assure you this is a good cause. And we took our group photo this morning, and the group was cutting up and having fun, and we haven't done anything yet. And so this is a very positive sign. I think it'll be an enjoyable trip. I look forward to spending time with the young people, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So thank you for your support on that. All right, most of us have handouts. Psalm 90, we'll be looking at Psalm 90. I've decided to preach on the theme of the new year. I can do this, even though it's not the first of January. We're still inside January. I have a little bit more time to preach this. But I want us to think and be intentional with our year. I don't think we realize the things that God gives us, the chunks of time that he gives us, and the priority that all those times are. And we often fail to see what he has for us. So I want to talk to you today about time, the theme of time. I'm going to start with a word of prayer, though. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray as I look at your word, that you would guide and direct me. Lord, calm my heart, calm my thoughts. I need you this day. And Lord, help us to see what you have for us. May I not just preach my own words, but help me to preach the words that you'd have, the words that would strengthen and help, the words that come from your word. Lord, I am nothing in myself, and so I ask that you would use me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. I teach young preachers, when the first time you go, when you first start to preach, you're always nervous. You pray, and you're fine after that. And I think there's something to that. The Lord can help. And so I need the Lord's help. Let's talk a little bit about the idea of time. And I want to share with you one of my favorite proverbs outside of the Bible. There's an ancient African proverb. And it goes something like this. Somewhere in the jungle, a young lion wakes up. And he realizes that he has to be faster than the slowest gazelle, or he will starve. And somewhere in Africa, when the sun comes up, a gazelle knows, wakes up and knows it has to be faster than the fastest lion or it'll be eaten. And so it doesn't matter if you're a gazelle or a lion. When the sun comes up, you better start running. This is an African saying. And I think it's very helpful. Sometimes I feel like that's my life. I feel like I'm not sure if I'm the gazelle or the lion some days. But I know if you're like me, when the sun comes up, I feel like I better start running. And it's so interesting, our lives. We spend so much time running around, and I think so much of our energy is towards survival that we forget to be intentional with the time that God has given us, and we fail to realize that God has given me a certain amount for a certain purpose. And sometimes we're just running here and there, and we fail to see what God has for us. God gave us time, and time is a very important gift that God has given us. And every day is filled with things that are urgent, that we have to do, and things that are actually important, things that matter. And sometimes we confuse what matters most and what just keeps us busy. But Moses writes in Psalm 90, he talks about the theme of time. And he's talking about Israel and their history and how God has helped them with their time. And he talks about in this, I won't read the entire psalm, but he talks about what a struggle time is and how God controls time, and it's almost a fearful thing for us because of our limitations. So Psalm 90, and I'm going to read verse 12. And the Bible says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." I want you to notice from this passage that time is a precious commodity. God gives us a precious commodity. We only have so much of it. God gives us time so that we can apply our hearts to being like God, to thinking like God, to being like God. And this is the purpose of time. And so time has a specific reason. Every day that you have matters. There's a purpose behind every day. There's a purpose behind every month that God gives you. There's a purpose behind every week. God has a purpose for you this week. There's a purpose behind every minute. There's a purpose behind every second. If you think about it, God has designed your life. God has given you gifts and abilities. God has given you a specific life that you're supposed to live. And God gave it to you for a reason. God gives you this specific commodity of time to know Him, to know wisdom, to think like Him, to act like Him. But our time is really, the time that He gives us is really limited and precious. And I want to talk to you today about three reasons why time is so precious. What makes time so precious? What makes it such a big deal? When you're young, you think it's never going to end, right? You have to go to school. You'll be like, oh, school will be done. I know the kids tell me they can barely wait for lunch. Is it lunchtime? It's like it's 9 o'clock. You got a ways to wait. And finally, they have lunch, and they say, okay, this is almost over. And then the clock drags on, and they survive a few more classes. And eventually, they get to leave or go to practice, and they think they're going to die. And then the next day, they come back, and we do it again. And then eventually, you have breaks, but then at some point, the break is over. And if you're a kid, time just drags, doesn't it? And you get a little bit older, just the opposite, right? Like when kids tell me they're bored, I'm like, I'd give anything to be you right now. The idea of boredom, boy, that'd be a privilege. I don't have that privilege. I'm going to guess most of the adults here don't have that, especially if you have kids. You're pretty busy day and night doing things. But this is what God designed. God gives us time, and whether you're young or you're old, it is a gift and it is a precious commodity that He gives you for a purpose. It's something that's special. So three reasons why time is precious. Number one, the reasons why time is precious is time is a gift from God. You can write this on the back of your paper if you want. The front is something different. But number one, time is a gift from God. God gives us each day. Here's a special thing that I'm going to entrust with you. You're not in charge of your life. We're stewards, right? Which means that ultimately God's the boss, and He temporarily entrusts things to us, and it's ours to manage. And then someday we'll give an account of how we manage that resource that He gave to us. And so my time is not about me. It's not about what I want. I'm given and entrusted a time so that I can use it for His glory. It's not mine. Now, I want to tell you a story about entrusting someone. Many, many years ago, I was a teenager, and don't laugh. This is painful. Yes, and it came time. I was my parents were missionaries, as you know, so we were moved around. At this time, we were in Michigan, and it was time for me to take my driving test before I went overseas because I wouldn't be able to get overseas. And there was no cars I could drive except for my uncle's brand new, this was big back then, Chevy Lumina. It was a fancy car. I didn't have a license at all. And so the car I was going to drive to take my driving test was this brand new car. Funny thing, right? Now, the kids will tell you I'm very safe. I did not. There's no bad ending to the story. I drove it safely. I got the license. I came back. But I thought, I better not mess this thing up, because my uncle will be very upset. He just got this brand new car. I better be extra careful. And so I was. And you know what? God gives us time, but we can't just do whatever we want with it, right? Because we're going to give an account, just like that car. I can't just drive crazy or have some road rage, tailgate. I can't do those things. I got to be extra careful. I got to follow the signs. And this is new in Chicago. I think they have turn signals. I don't see very many of them around here, but some people choose to use the old-fashioned turn signal so people know where you're going to go. You're not just weaving it out of traffic. I've got to be careful. And you know, this is what God, He gives us this precious gift of time. And we can't mess around with it. We're going to give an account. We must be very careful. So, time is a gift from God. You know, God gives us this gift. Now, why do we have time? You think about this. And is God limited by time? Well, if you read the rest of this psalm, you realize He's not limited by time, right? Time is not a constraint for God. He's not limited. He's not like, oh, I was late. God is not late for anything. Or, man, I wish I had circled my calendar for that activity. No, he doesn't. There's no calendar to circle. He's not. He doesn't have any problems. Or if I'd only gotten up a little bit sooner, like those are things that we would think. Or I slept too late. He doesn't think. He doesn't sleep, so it's not a problem. Time is a human problem, and it's not something that God really has any kind of limitations. We know in Scripture that 1,000 years to God is like a single day, and a single day is like 1,000 years. It's no biggie for him, right? And so we have this example. But as people, we need time, don't we? Because we're limited in what we can do. And so God gives us time so that we can focus on specific things in specific windows of opportunity. Could you imagine if you had to live your whole life at once? Just how overwhelming that would be? It's hard enough to live one day at a time and to deal with today's problems today, tomorrow's problems of tomorrow. And so God gives us this gift of time because he knows how limited we are. And so we need time. We need these different events to happen at different times. There's a reason why God gives you babies first, and then young people, and then teens, and then people in their 20s, and then middle age, and then later on. He gives you things in stages. You deal with kids in stages, right? They start out small. There's a reason. They have things to learn at that small stage, and they learn the next thing, and on it goes. And God gives us time to develop our skills and to grow in our faith and to learn. So time is opportunity. And every bit of this time counts and matters. I think of an example of this. I think about Esther and in a time in Israel's history where they're under great persecution. And there's a wicked plot to destroy them. And Esther becomes queen. And her people are in great need. And yet, here she is. She is the queen of this land. And they say to her, "What are you going to do?" And she says, "You know what? The Lord has me here for such a time as this. I'm where I'm supposed to be during this time." You know, sometimes we really have tunnel visions for what's supposed to happen, and we fail to see that God has us where we are at the time when we need to be. And we don't realize it because we're frustrated or we're upset. Or we have our own agenda for our time, but it's not God's agenda. And God has to show us things. You know, sometimes in life, I'll tell you, I feel frustrated. I have frustrating days. Am I the only one here? The rest of you look at me, you're like, "What's that? What's frustration? We've never experienced this before." There's days when I get frustrated and upset, and I think, "What am I doing? Why do I deal with the same?" You ever feel like you deal with the same problem over and over again? It's like, I think I had this problem yesterday, and the day before, and the day before. And it's like frustration, like you're hitting your head against the wall. And I've been in places where I felt like I worked and worked and worked. The last church I was at, I felt like the harder I worked, the more things went backwards. And it's like, why am I trying? Why do I bother trying if it just fails, you know? It's like, I'll go try to help this person, and it blows up in my face. They get upset. And I'm like, I don't know why you're acting this way. I'm here to help you. There's so many times when we get frustrated. But you know what? The Lord has us where we need to be. And it's not about success or failure, I will tell you. I say often, I feel like I'm hitting my head against the correct wall, you know? It's like I'm frustrated and annoyed, but this is the battle that God has given me. And this is where I'm supposed to be frustrated and annoyed, right? He said, "I'm going to give you this challenge, Micah, at this time, at this place. I want you to focus on that. And don't worry about the results. You leave the results to me, and you worry on focusing. This is the time. This is the group I've given you. This is what you work with, and this is where we need to be." And so God gives us a vision for our time, and God gives us a purpose, even as this was Esther's time, and this was her purpose. God gives each one of us a specific time to work on a task. And whether we're successful or a failure, that's in his hand. We need to be faithful to that. We need to use that gift and be a steward of what he gives us. You know, sometimes we have tunnel vision, though. You know, we have exact things that we need to do. And you can ask me. I have lists. I mean, I kid you not. I have lists for my lists, even. I have different lists to categorize my lists. And I do it by paper, the old-fashioned way. You know why you do it? I like to cross it off. I'm like, yes, that was amazing. Even if it's a dumb thing, like I'll write it down and then I'll cross it off, you know, after I've done it, just so I can get that rush of adrenaline that, yes, I'm so successful. But we have so much tunnel vision in our lives, don't we? We have things that we just think, we just have to do this, right? This is the purpose of my day today, and I'm just going to focus on doing. How many of you ever start out with a list of things, and they were all just fantastic, wonderful things, you know? I'm going to spend time with my kids, right? And I'm going to read the scripture for this length of time, and I'm going to talk to this person and do this. And you have all these wonderful plans, and the day starts, and something goes horribly wrong, right? Something breaks, someone breaks, something horrible happens, and your whole day is just ruined, right? and you look at your list, and you're not even in the same state as half of those things. Like, you had to go somewhere, and you're like, what happened? You ever have this day? Like, the bomb went off in your life, and you're like, wow, I don't know. And you feel like you're a failure, don't you? Because you're like, I had 10 things, and I'm going to have to add two more, and they won't get done either. I'll have 12 things undone. And I started the day with 10 things undone. And you know what, though? The Lord knows what's on your list, and He knows what needs to be done. In our minds, we think we know what needs to be done, but the Lord knows what really needs to be done. And sometimes He has to redirect us, okay? I'm giving you this gift, and this is where I want you to be with this. Here's this precious gift I want you to be a steward of. Don't worry about those 10 things. Those are your priorities. I have my own set of priorities. And sometimes we need that. We need to say, you know what? I can spend the whole day being frustrated and upset because He didn't give me the time to do what I thought. Or I can realize, you know what? Maybe it's time I adjust my priorities. Maybe I need to realize that there's something that's more important that I'm missing. And this has to be us. We have to be open and flexible because we have to realize if God wanted us to do something different, He would have given us the time for that, wouldn't He? But He didn't give us that time for that. He gave us our time for this thing. And so God gives us this gift. Time is precious. It's a gift directly from God to us. We get the passage. So teach us to number our days. Help us to count these. Help us to measure our days, to use our time wisely as God has directed us. So time is precious because it's a gift, number one. Number two, time is precious because it is limited. The commodity of time is limited. In verse 12, he talks about our days are 70. A score is 20. If by strength, it's 80. So the typical life is 70 to 80 years. That goes fast. I'm 36. I never thought I'd live this long. I don't know. I think the last, I haven't been injured in years, though. I think I settled down in there somewhere. Well, I met Jerry, and that was helpful to me. I made my life choices got a lot better after that. But I remember the last time I dislocated my shoulder. What was this? In college. And my family, I guess they were not betting. That would be a sin. They were wagering. They were wagering how long it would stay in joint before I dislocated again. That was the going thing. How long would it take before it hurt himself again? It stayed in, though, and I'm good. I still feel it, though. But time is so limited. And you know what? The time that we have, you only have so much of it. You can't squander it. Now, you know what's funny? Teach us to number our days. Help us to use the time to think like God thinks. The person writing this is most likely Moses. And how long does Moses live? Moses lives 123 years. And his successor, Joshua, lives 110. These people, in our estimation, we think, wow, that's a long time, right? 123 years? It's hard to fathom someone living that long. I know we have several old members of our church who've lived a long time. God's blessed them with long life and longevity. But think about this. 100 years is still short, though. That's not a long time. In God's bigger plan, that's just a drop in the bucket. Our lives are so short. We only have so much life. You think about it. God has given you this gift, and it's very, very limited. There's only so much of it. How much time do we spend just squandered? You think about it. When you stand before the Lord someday, how much of that life will you have just wasted? And He'll say, you know, this year to this year, what were you doing? And you will say, that's wood, hay, stubble. I wasted that. That was about me. I was spinning my wheels those years. I wasn't accomplishing anything for eternity. You know, the Bible talks about the Bema Seat of Christ, the Judgment Seat of Christ, and there's a lot of works up there. We all do a lot of works, but some of those works are judged, and some of those works are wood, hay, stubble, things about me. And some of those things are gold, silver, precious stones, things that actually mattered. How much of your day is things that actually matter or done for Christ? You think about that. How many significant things do you do in a day? And how many things do we just do for the sake of passing time? How much of our day is just kind of wasted? You think about it. I think, and I've thought a lot about this recently. You know, how often do I talk to my kids in the day? How often do I spend time to go see how their day is going? You know, that could have been the best thing I did that day, was ask Ashlyn about her rainbow gloves. You think about it, as crazy as they are. But that could have been the biggest thing I did the entire day. You think about this. That could have been the most important thing. God gives us limited time, and we should see it this way. We see in the book of James, James 4:14, it compares time to a vapor. It's here, and then poof, it's gone. And that's what our life is. It's such a short period. It's so limited. It's just incumbent upon us that we're wise with what God has given us. This is the perspective. The older you get, the more you realize how fast it went, don't you? And how often you look back. How many of you, I won't ask for a show of hands, you wish you go, if you had a time machine, you'd love to reuse some of those years. You think about it. I would have loved to spend more time with my father or my mother. Or I'd love to have talked to somebody when they were younger, before they're older. I think we'd all love to have that time machine, wouldn't we? I've replayed college so many times in my head. So many things that I said and did, and I think, why? Why was I so focused on myself? I could have made such a difference in that person's life. And I was off doing things that I thought were important, and they didn't matter at all. Why is this? Time is limited. Our time is limited. It's important that we use each day for eternity, and we see each day as important, okay? So time is a precious commodity. We talked about the fact that it's from God for us. We talked about the fact that it's limited in its scope. And number three, time is precious because the day will come when we'll give an account of how we've used our time. It says that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Help us to use our time so that we can have hearts that are full of wisdom, hearts that think like God, a heart that sees life from God's perspective. When life is over, you will go one of two places, okay? If you are an unbeliever, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in Him alone, to forgive you of all of your sins by faith and receive His grace, we know that someday you'll stand before the great white throne of God. And it says they'll open up the Lamb's Book of Life, and if you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, your name is not written there, and you'll be cast in eternity into the lake of fire forever. This is for people that have never trusted. I hope every one of you has made that decision in your heart, okay? And not just that you go with a group or you pretend, but in your heart of hearts, you've truly made that decision to trust Christ as your Savior. For us who are believers, there's a second judgment, though. It talks about, it's the judgment seat of Christ. I mentioned it earlier. And we'll stand before Christ, and we'll give an account of our whole life. Now, I don't think it's a gotcha situation. I think growing up, I heard some preaching along this, and it used to scare me to death that there's some kind of big screen in heaven, and they see all the bad things that you do, like hidden video, and they're like, yeah, look at that. You made a mistake. You're horrible. Everyone laughs. I don't think that's the whole tenor of the passage if you read it. I think rather what it's pointing at is you are given the resource of your life, and how did you use it? And we'll give an account of how did you use your resources. What did you do with God gave you? What did you do with the time that God gave you on earth? And we'll give an account of this before God. And we know there'll be tears in heaven. People will be sad. We'll regret the way that we squandered what He gave us. And we know that Christ will wipe away all those tears. But we are rewarded according to how we used our times. But we will give an account. So the way that you do spend your time is of eternal significance. It's eternally important. So we can't just live for ourselves and do what we want, because we'll give an account. We'll have to answer. We'll have to explain to Jesus, you know, what did you do? Well, I would have loved to have helped with that activity, but I was busy. Really? Yes. Someone had to keep track of the TV for our family. I don't think Jesus is going to care about the TV show or whatever we get, you know. I would have loved to have helped, but I needed my fifth vacation. Jesus is going to say, you needed five vacations? You could have helped, but I think this is our fleshly response, right? I need space. I need time. And, you know, you do need to take care of yourself, but my whole life isn't about space and time, right? I don't need to go up into the woods for a weekend or something. I don't need getaways, right? I think in our culture, we glorify relaxation like this is the highlight. Like, I live for the vacation. If it wasn't for the weekend, what would I do? My goal in life is not to relax. Okay? I do relax along the way. It's survival. But that's not my greatest goal. My greatest goal is not to retire at age 40 and to walk the beaches and pick up seashells. There's better uses of my time than this. And I'll give an account, you know, and if you stand before God, yeah, I was retired for 40 years. You know, how's that going to sound before Christ? You think, I send you to earth, a place full of sinners that needed to know about my love, and you spent the time in your timeshare. You know, that's going to sound really hollow. We need to use our time wisely. We will give an account before him. And when we get to heaven, you won't be excited about how relaxing your vacation will be. You won't be comparing vacation stories. There's no one in heaven that's excited about that. We're going to give an account of what we did do. Now, obviously, you can burn yourself out in that you can physically ruin your health if you're not taking care of yourself. This is why God established the day of rest, 1 in 7 days, to cease from your normal work and to focus on him. So there's a balance of taking care of yourself. I'm not recommending the 7-day work week. But on the other hand, I think in our culture, the scales are tipped over towards the I can't wait to play. I think this is our culture values play above all else. So your decision of how you spend your time, you will give an account. Paul commands us in Ephesians 5:16. He commands us to redeem our time because the days are evil. Buy back the time. It's like God gives us a coupon and it's going to expire if we don't use it. This is what our life is. It's a coupon. We need to use it. The days are evil. We have to redeem the time. We have to make the most of that time. We have to buy it back and use it for eternity. Christians should not be wasting time. Time is too valuable. And time is not about me. Time is about him and how I can use my life for eternity. And so, since we have gone through why time is valuable and how limited it is, I have for you a project. I don't know if you can give homework in churches, but I'm doing it. I think homework is a wonderful thing. We should have more homework, I think. I have given to you a sheet of paper for your year. You have a whole year coming up. This is a long time in human terms, man's terms. What are you going to do? I would recommend that you make goals for yourself. And I make goals every year. I started doing this as a teenager. And some of the goals I read, I laugh now. Oh, that's so funny. But I had direction and focus, and it gave me something to do. So maybe it's a good thing. But I think we all need to have goals for our life and what we want God to do, what we need help to do. And I think having goals gives us a way of measuring our time. And, you know, maybe you sit there and you say, I make goals, but I never keep them. What's the point? Well, I think if you have a goal and you get close, you're better than if you didn't try. And also, if you have a goal and you don't succeed, at least you know you failed. The person with no goals doesn't even know they're failing, do they? And so I think we need measuring sticks for our time. So I recommend that you make at least 5 goals. Now, my goals for this year, each year my list gets longer. I think my goal success rate last year was 80%. I gave myself a score of 80. I try to have goals I can measure. If you can't measure it, it's just kind of a wish or a desire. So you need to have something you can look at and say, I'm succeeding or I'm failing. So every year I make a list of goals. Then I put it somewhere either near my bed. I think one year I did the fridge because I'm always there. I have one this year. This year is next to my desk, so I can see it regularly, so I can see how am I doing on my goals. So I would like to recommend for you 5. This should be easy. 5 goals for yourself. Now, I make more than this. I think I'm up. I have categories now. I think I probably spend too much time on this, but I have family goals, personal goals, church goals. I have different. What's my other ones? I have 4 categories. I can't remember the top of my head, but I have ways of measuring each one, so I know. Hopefully, I'm making some progress, and I won't succeed at all of them. I know this, but I recommend that you make some goals. If you don't have a prayer list, you need a prayer list. It's so much more efficient to pray with a prayer list. If you don't have a prayer list, and you're like, and I've been here. I don't need a prayer list today. You know, I'm somewhere. I can't get to my prayer list. What happens is I start to think about something I want to pray for, and then before long I'm thinking about something else, and then before long I'm asleep, and I'm like, I just wasted all that time. But a prayer list keeps you on track. You remember things. Maybe this year you need to have a prayer list or a certain amount of time you want to pray each day, and you say, that's my goal. You know what? And maybe for you, maybe you're busy, maybe you have a hard time focusing. 5 minutes. You know, maybe this year you say, you know what? Every day between this and this time, I'm going to devote myself to prayer. Maybe that's your goal for the year. You could write that down. For some of you, maybe it's the Bible reading plan the church has. Maybe you say, you know what? I've never read through the whole scripture. I want to try this. And I will tell you, if you've never read through the Bible, it's life-changing. The stuff you read, it's interesting. You learn some things. You're confused about some things. But maybe you have some questions, but it makes you interact and understand things that you may not otherwise have dealt with. Other scriptures, other books, you didn't know what they were about. And it makes you research, study, think, this kind of thing. Maybe there's a reading goal you have, or maybe there's someone you're supposed to witness to. As the Lord laid someone on your heart, the Holy Spirit's like, this is the person. I don't know what it is. I always feel convicted about my mailman. And every time I give him tracts, I think he's starting to get annoyed by me. I see him, I'm like, I know it. You need the gospel. And he's just like, okay. But if the Lord's laid someone on your heart, and you say, you know what? The Lord's laid something on my heart. I'm going to go witness to that person. And you put that person's name down. This is my person. This year, I'm going to pray the Lord helps me. Maybe it's health. God only gives you one body. If you don't take care of your body, it's going to limit your effectiveness for Him. We got to take care of our bodies, don't we? I think sometimes people treat their cars super nice, right? Fancy. Money's no object. And then their own health, they take it for granted. They don't take care of themselves. Maybe they don't get the rest they need or the nutrition, whatever else. Maybe you have a personal goal. I would say write this down. There's something health-wise. For me this past year, I took on walking. It just made a big difference. If you notice, my back isn't bothering me like it used to. But just walking, it's done great wonders for me. So that's a goal. Maybe there's a health thing that God's laid in your heart. It could be a characteristic that you need. Maybe you need to be more patient. Maybe you need to have someone you can talk to. Maybe you need to measure this. Or it could be a financial decision. You're not using your resources the way God wants you to. Maybe it's limiting your effectiveness for Christ. You know, if you're where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When you fix your finances, you have to fix your life, because those two things go together, right? When you can't control your spending, it's because you can't control you, your appetites. So these are some things that I thought of. Maybe you have other things that you have for your life. But I would ask that you spend time thinking. I don't know if you want to do it now or when you get home. But just think, what does the Lord have for me this year? What should I be focused on? How should I be numbering my days? And how should I be using those things effectively? And realize this isn't yours. This isn't your life. This is what God has for you. And ask God, what should my priorities be? What would you have for me this year? Let's ask the Lord for His help.